This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Well, good morning. I'd like to extend to you my welcome, especially if this is your first time or if you're a guest, it's great to see you. You're very, very welcome. I was going to teach on our series about invitation and look at the issue of fear of rejection, but we'll get to that another day. It's an important subject which I think you'll find helpful, but we'll do that maybe in July. I just wanted to make a few observations, actually, about how we respond to the referendum and how do we process that. I sense that there's a certain amount of shock and anxiety, as well as excitement and hope, and there's all sorts of strange emotions, or not strange, but conflicting emotions whirring around in our heads and minds. I think you need to, I mean, 2 weeks ago we were mourning the loss of Joe Cox. I mean, that was a traumatic thing for us. You know, a local MP, by all accounts, a wonderful person, killed just a few miles from here. And then we had the referendum as well. So there's a sort of a lot in the air. In that whole realm. I want us to remember, though, that about 400,000 people voted in Leeds, about 77% of the number who could vote, and give or take 1,000, they're split 50-50 on the referendum issue. And this church is probably representative of the people of Leeds. So there'll be people around you who think very differently to what the way you think. I think it's really important that we remember that as we talk and as we share. And it's easy for that to allow us to be divided, for it to sow disunity, and for things like hate and bitterness to come up. And we must address that, and that's what I want to just briefly talk about. I haven't prepared a talk particularly. I just want to draw your attention to some scriptures and then to pray together. There's a lot of emotion at an international level about this, and obviously at the UK level and at the Leeds level and within our own community here. The thing about the churches, the beauty of the church, the uniqueness of the church, not found anywhere else, is its ability to bring unity in diversity. There's no other combination of people on the planet that does that. And we are, because of our Lord, we're able to introduce reconciliation into places of conflict. It's a unique thing. So four things. First of all, it starts with us. Okay, people are watching you. They're watching us as a community, and they're watching you as an individual. And they're asking themselves, how do Christians respond in all of this? The Archbishop Welby talks about having good disagreement. And they're hearing him say that, and then they're looking at you, and they're saying, is this what's happening? Are these guys able to disagree, but do it well? And amidst all the emotions that are amongst us, you know, some of you are feeling anger, some of you are feeling fear, some of you are feeling anxiousness or worry. Some of you are celebrating, some of you are tending towards jingoism. So our prayer is for peace among us as we liaise, work with each other and talk with each other and do life with each other. I want to look at Romans chapter 12. So if you've got that on your app or on your in the Pew Bibles, I'm reading it from the NIV. Some of the emotion that's in here is that because of the way that the vote resulted, it's simplistic to say it, but people are saying it, that young people voted one way and older people voted the other way. That's a trend, but it's not a universal truth. And so it's very important that the young people in particular do not label the older people in a way that devalues them.
and vice versa. There's also a strong flow of anti-immigrant views. So anybody who's not British, whatever that means, I think is feeling maybe a little less welcome today. And we as individuals need to make sure that we do not send that, whatever we believe about the referendum decision, we do not send that message. It's a core scriptural principle that everybody is welcome. There are no barriers in the kingdom. So if you're here from another country, I need you to know that you're very welcome. Very, very welcome. Romans 12 gives us some indication as to how we should deal with things like this amongst each other. Starting at verse 9. I won't read all of it. It's a long one. But love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with people who are in need. Here we go. Practice hospitality. That's in your house, but it's also in our country. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. That's a pretty good set of guidance for how we should treat each other, yeah? Yeah? That's what people are watching for. That's what they need to see. We can't really send our message to the world unless we can do that with each other. So, but it's fine to disagree. It's absolutely fine to disagree. There's nothing wrong with that. It's how we deal with each other. So when you're talking with each other, this is not God, this is my personal conviction, is I would avoid the use of social media. Don't get into debates on social media. I don't think any good can come out of that whatsoever. If you've got a disagreement with somebody and you want to pursue that in a way that honors them and respects them and brings peace, then go and talk to them face to face. If you're talking about them to somebody else, speak well of them. Only speak well of them. Do not say anything about them that you would not say if they were standing right beside you. That's called gossip if you do that. Yeah? So we honor each other so that this can be a place where we can disagree in peace. We can disagree and love one another. So it starts with us. Secondly, let's be good neighbors. You know, this is one of our themes. This is one of our purposes that we talk about from time to time, how we want to be good neighbors in Headingley and in Leeds. Cardinal Vincent Nichols, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, said in the UK, said, the UK must work hard to show ourselves as good neighbors. He's looking at that from a national point of view. And Justin Welby and Centamu have just issued a joint statement in which they say we must now unite in a common task to be hospitable, compassionate, builders of bridges, not barriers. So if this is one of our goals here, to be good neighbours, then starting with us and then working into our community, we want to be the city on the hill, we want to be the light in the dark place, we want to be the healthy community that serves our country and our city. I want to invite you to pray into that now with me. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verses 1 to 3 and then verse 8. So I'm going to read this and then I'm going to invite you to watch the mic. I'm going to invite you to come up here if you would like to. If you feel you've got a word for us, well, more particularly, if you've got a word for us, I want you to pray. Pray for, in response to this scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour. So this is the time when we pray, particularly more than ever before perhaps, for our government and for the leaders of the political parties and for the European leaders. We need to pray for them. What will we have the Lord give them? What's the Lord saying? Verse 8, therefore I want the men and the women everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. That means we're in the right place when we pray. We don't come out of a place of anger or vindictiveness or unforgiveness. We lift up holy hands without anger or disputing. So if you'd like to pray, we'll take a few minutes out of our service. Just come forward now, just form a little line up here and lead us in prayer. We're going to pray together at the end as well, but if you've got a specific thing to pray for our country, would you like to come up now? Just take a step forward. I think there'll be several of you. You don't have to be great prayers. I just want you to, the ones of you who are intercessors, you should be up here. And the ones of you who just want to express something that's on your heart for our country, then come and say it now.
One of the things that's concerning me is that the Conservative Party will get focused on who's going to be the new leader rather than leading the country at the moment, so I want to pray for that. Father God, we don't want to be a country that's like a ship without a rudder. Now that David Cameron is stepping down, and we pray, Father God, that he will do a good job in the next 3 months. We ask you to bless him. We ask you to be with him, and we ask you to help him, Lord. And Father God, we pray for all the Conservative MPs, whether they voted in or out. Lord, we pray that you will help them to be sensible and not be fighting one another to try to be leading the party, but that, Father, their concerns will be to lead this country. And so, Father, we ask for peace in the House of Commons, peace. And it's just all the subterfuge and all the things that go on behind the scenes, Lord, that you know about, that we don't know about. But, Father, we pray that things will be brought into the light, that things will be in the open, and that, Father God, you will shine your light and your glory into that House of Commons, and that those MPs will have this country as their first focus. Not ambition, not pride, not wanting to be top dog, but, Father God, that you will raise up a man or woman who you want to take over that role. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Let's say amen.
Just want to pray from Malachi. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. So, Father, we ask that you will do that at this time, that you will turn our hearts towards each other, and not just parents and children, but different groups, different people who may not think they have anything in common. Will you turn our hearts towards each other, Father? Give us compassion and give us understanding, give us patience, and give us your eyes to see other people in the way that you made them. Amen.
Amen. Let's say amen. Amen.
Lord God, thank you that you are Lord over all, that you are King of Kings.
Yeah.
Thank you that you saw this coming and that you see what's coming in the future. God, I pray that you would stir in each of the hearts of those who love and follow you, call you Lord and Savior, that you would call us as your people, your church, your bride, to rise up. that people would turn to you because of seeing how we as the church are responding. Would you call us to rise up, to stand strong, to be men and women, boys and girls of faith?
Yeah.
Would we change this world because of what you are doing, God? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Like most people, I think I've got strong feelings about what's happened over the last week. But I was just reminded this morning of this passage. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, take pity on me." Many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, take pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Get up, he is calling you." He threw off his cloak, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man answered, "I want to see again." "Go," Jesus told him, "your faith has made you well." At once he was able to see and follow Jesus on the road. And just when I read that passage this morning, I thought, you know what, John? You're like the blind beggar. You only see in part. You only see a little bit. And where does the answer lie? In Jesus. The answer lies, for this country, in Jesus. Mm. And that's who we need to be crying out to and just saying, we admit our blindness, that we only know in part.
Pray that. Pray that.
Yeah. Father, we just say this morning, right now, and I say, I only see in part. I feel blind. And we call upon you for this nation.
Yeah.
We call upon you for our lives. And we say, you're the answer. Yeah. You're the answer for Leeds. You're the answer for our neighbourhoods.
Yeah.
And you're the answer for this country. Amen.
Amen. And all the people said, Amen.
And that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank you, John. My prayer this morning is that my life, along with all our lives, gets faster and faster. We respond more quickly to things that go on around us as the days go by. It seems as though we drive along motorways at 100 miles an hour. And somehow God doesn't get a word in edgeways. So my prayer for me, and with your permission for you this morning, is simply that as we share with one another, we would allow you, Father, just to give us pause, to stop us, to allow just those few seconds or even few minutes for you to speak into our lives. So that whenever we respond to each other in this room, to those people out in Headingley, and yes, to those people on social media, that response will be flavoured with you, Jesus.
Yeah.
That it will be coloured by you, Jesus. That any imperfections and wrongs that there are in us will be smoothed away in that response. Yeah. And that will allow people, hopefully, to see a little of Jesus in each of us.
Amen.
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 I just wanted to express my gratitude to this nation because my parents were refugees and they were welcomed to this country. And they were also welcomed in Persia, which is Syria was part of. And I just wanted to pray for that spirit of generosity, that we don't lose it.
Go and pray.
Lord, I pray that we can be generous as a nation and as individuals, that our hearts will break for anyone who is homeless, who is broken and out of their country. I pray that we will welcome them, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I want to pray for peace. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be flooding the streets and to be flooding our hearts, for us to have understanding of people who have other points of view, and for us to, I just really pray for your spirit of peace. I pray against an uprising of hate.
Yeah.
I pray against violence in the streets. I pray against demonization of other people, because ultimately we're all your children, Lord. I pray especially for the poor and those whom economic crashes affect most deeply. I really, really thank you that you say, Lord, you have anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. And I just really want to hold up, I just pray that, I just thank you that you hear the voices of the vulnerable. And I pray, Lord, for there to be leadership in this country that cares for the vulnerable and that does provide a voice for them, and ultimately for peace. I really pray that our nation won't be a nation which is just coming against each other and rising up in civil unrest. And the same internationally, I pray, Lord, for your spirit of peace to reign, and for us to be warriors of peace and not just sit back passively, but to be real warriors of love and peace, and to have real wisdom in how to carry that out. I pray that for us and for our government. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I had a scripture this morning, and it's I do feel it is for this situation. I didn't know what David was going to be saying this morning, but it's from Isaiah 44, and it says, it's Isaiah 44, verse 3, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in the meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. For some say, 'I belong to the Lord.' Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand 'the Lord's,' and will take the name Israel." And I just feel that within that pouring of water to me is about truth, really, because I think that's something that we're a little short of with all the electioneering. And I'm just praying for that truth, and I just pray that truth and the Spirit of God will actually lead people forwards. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So this young man had a conversation with God, and he said to God, "Is it true that eternity for you is just a second?" And God said, "Yeah, that's true." He said, "Oh, and is it true that all the wealth in the world to you is just a penny?" And God said, "Yes, that's true." He said, "Well, God, then, could I have a penny?" And God said, "In a second." Much has changed, and much will change, but what hasn't changed? We said it in our prayers. We follow and worship a Saviour who is the King over all. Is it referendum or referenda, the plural? I'm going to go with referenda, but if somebody listens to this in the podcast and wants to correct me, that's fine. Nobody here knows. They will come and go, okay? And kingdoms will rise and fall. Our God is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and his purposes never change. And none of this, as somebody prayed, none of this is a surprise to him. We have to find Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is the call in our lives. To step back from all this stuff. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. The goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is our mandate. This is what we're called to. And that hasn't changed. We're here to advance the kingdom. We're a kingdom people. And we're called to love our neighbors and to love one another and to feed the poor and to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to tell people about Jesus. That's our kingdom purpose. That doesn't change until his new creation comes and he starts us all from scratch again. When he decides to do that, great. But his purpose doesn't change. We are to advance his kingdom. So finally, you have a choice. You can look back with regret and anger over what's happened. That's something we can't change. Or you can look forward with fear and anxiety. Or you can hear these words of Jesus and you can believe in his sovereignty over everything, over all time and over all places. And you can hear what Jesus says in Matthew 6. It's our last reference. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And he goes on and he says, I think it's six or eight times, "Do not worry." So we can choose instead to trust him for today. To trust him for today, to be filled with his Holy Spirit, to know his peace and his presence in our lives, restoring and healing and pouring balm on wounds. And that his Holy Spirit may inspire us to live for what he's given us to do, to pursue the purpose he's given us as individuals and as a community. So I just want to pray that over us here. Would you like to stand? I want to give you an opportunity to respond again to the living God, our sovereign God who saved us and loved us, and to say to him, "Lord, I'm in a mess because of this. I'm thinking this, this, and this. But I choose to trust you." So, Lord, we pray for ourselves that we may know your peace in these anxious times. We choose to put our trust in you, rather than worry about the future and live in regret in the past. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. We recognize our weakness and our worry and our inability to sort this out for ourselves and to sort out ourselves. We ask for your forgiveness and for you to fill us with your Holy Spirit as we choose to trust in you. And let's just say this prayer together, which is sort of the official church prayer at this time. should be up on the screen behind me. Would you like to say this together with me, if you wish? Eternal God, light of the nations, in Christ you make all things new. Guide our nation in the coming days through the inspiration of your Spirit, that understanding may be put an end to discord and all bitterness. Give us grace to rebuild bonds of trust, that together we may work for the dignity and flourishing of all. Amen. Amen. So we've been a little sidelined by this subject. I think some of you may still want some prayer for that, just for the people to lay hands on you and bless you with his presence and his peace. And you may have come today with something completely different. You may not even know there's been a referendum. And in which case, we'll pray for your eyesight and your healing and your hearing. But if you come for something else, you're physically unwell, or like me, or if you're in difficulty of some sort and you'd like us to pray for you, would you come to the front here as I dismiss, and I'll get somebody really nice to come and lay hands on you and to pray for you, and not to give you any advice or shout at you, but just to bless you. Well, I'd rather you didn't leave today the same as you came, okay? So thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. I pray that you have a peaceful and a trusting in the Lord week.